Hello, it's the 27th, and we're here with business and security, which are kind of like the sad sections, but that's okay. We'll get over it, and then we'll have a ton of nonsense on Friday.
Business isn't always the sad section. There's some good things that come out of
Which sometimes, yeah, but usually it's kind of like dull
that. Oh, and Chris is frozen
compared
because
to
her window's
nonsense.
minimized.
Oh,
Oh.
no. Yeah, sometimes business can be, really uplifting and it's like fun new products. These first two stories, not that at
No.
all.
No,
No,
no.
pretty much the exact opposite of that.
IBM to cut thousands of jobs as this thing that we find ourselves in plays out. The CEO has promised a 5% dividend is going to remain intact. 5% dividend on IBM stock. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it is
Great.
a dividend aristocrat, I think they call them. Or maybe it's king. I think it's king after 30 years of growing it. But they do not want to threaten that status. And you go one quarter without it, you start over. So, yeah. Got to cut some jobs to make the shareholders happy? Hey, that's what you got to do.
Thousands of jobs, as it turns out.
Last week we talked about Uber, and they had some really massive cuts.
Yeah.
So, if you're working at a big tech company, you're like, oh, Jesus, what's on the horizon for me? But if you work at Uber, then you can, you're like, you're happy because you're like, well, it's already happened here. It ain't gonna happen again, right?
Oh, wait. Oh, no. The Wall Street Journal reports that Uber cuts 3,000 more jobs and shuts 45 offices in the crunch over this thing. The story mentions that a lot of those offices that are shutting down, it's Uber's programs in other countries. So if you're in one of the unfortunately negatively impacted countries, Uber's not going to be a ride-sharing service in your country at all anymore.
Look at this great video shot here. It's like the little circles that you're allowed to recreate in. This guy's out of his circle. So is this dog. One of my favorite Corona lockdown
Beers, my
memes.
Corona beers.
Every time you say it, somebody else joins Patreon.
One of my favorite lockdown memes is, you know how cats will naturally go to circles drawn on the ground? So they'll
Yeah.
draw like circles to show people where to get in line, and cats are just in line because they like the circles. They never get tired of those pictures. I tested that. My cats are totally into it. They weren't box cats when they were young, and I was very disappointed. Now they've become box cats. They've grown into it. I would have hated to have non-box cats, to be honest.
Well, there's plenty of boxes downstairs if you want to build them a complicated box
Oh,
fort.
they've got plenty of boxes. This is going to be just a quick block of working from home forever. That's just more companies.
Reuters says that Canada's Shopify CEO says the era of office centricity is over. Most staff to permanently work from home. So they're going to reorganize their office and it's going to be great. Shopify has become huge. They're a multi-billion dollar company and yet they've only got 5,000 employees. Turns out Shopify is a pretty decent product for what it is. Coinbase announces it's going to be a remote-first work policy in light of the thing. So Coinbase doesn't need an office either. I don't know why Coinbase needed, I mean, given what Coinbase does, why did it even need an office to
They
begin
don't.
with?
Yeah, they don't.
Square announces permanent work from home policy. Again, e-commerce, everything we do is online. Why are we crazy?
And we'll
This
only
just
see more
means
of these.
you're further out.
It's always fun when you work with a company that is doing stuff primarily online and they're like, I don't know, we're just scared of that whole work from home thing. We're not really good working with remote teams. And it's like, but the work that we're doing for you is all on the internet.
It's the human element, man.
That's what I'm trying to get rid of in my work.
Now this one is a fun headline because if you read it and you're like, well, finally, that makes sense that they would do that. It's about time. But in the depths of the article, they point out that this was basically done with a gun to their head.
Yes. The Associated Press, the headline is AT&T to drop misleading 5G marketing for non-5G networks. I have a feeling that the Associated Press worded this in such a way so as not to piss off AT&T, the sponsor, because the better headline would have been AT&T forced to drop misleading 5GE headline by the Federal Trade Commission.
This is the 5G evolution, which
Was not 5G at all.
doesn't involve 5G towers in any way whatsoever.
It was relabeled 4G technology.
So they're not going to be. But now they do. It wasn't clear what all of the existing phones are like. Is there going to be a software update? Nobody's sure. They're just not going to market new phones. But Their actual 5G network rolls out in September. So the impact is kind of minimal here. They got away with it, you could say. I suppose the investigation's not over.
No.
But probably whoever is in charge of the investigation is like, ah, they knew what, yeah, they're doing good now. They're a good boy.
Just leave them alone. It is impressive that it took them this long to act, because this would be like, I don't know, a new model of automobile coming out and saying that this is the 80 mile per gallon evolution. And it's like, does that mean I'm going to get 80 miles per gallon? No, highway mile per gallon is 35. It's the next step in evolution toward 80 miles per gallon, but it's not in fact an 80 mile per gallon car.
Tesla get away with it. Not about anybody else.
It's 4 hours and 57 minutes of runtime, not 5 hours.
We will soon find out if the Apple cult will be enough to overcome the social barrier to a thing that the Google cult was not by any stretch of the imagination. Is this an actual picture of it? Do you know?
No.
I was going to say, where's the hardware there?
No.
There's no chance that. No. So it remains to be seen what it looks like. I think the one they showed, this is the AR version, right?
Yes.
So we don't know exactly what it looks like yet, but we do know what it costs, and place your bets, I guess.
So this is from Mac Rumors, but this is also something that John Prosser of Front Page Tech reported on, and it's Apple Glass. It's like Google Glass, but it's from Apple, and it's supposed to start at $499. This is basically augmented reality glasses powered by the Apple ecosystem. So he doesn't think this is going to come out for like a year, and then other tech pundits think that it's much closer than that. So it's like Apple's targeting late 2021 or early 2022 release. I have a feeling this is going to be like the self-driving car. By the time Apple builds it, they're going to realize what a horrible abomination it is, and they're not going to release it into the wild.
There are so many legal issues that lurk under a widespread adoption of that. Because staring at the phone and walking, look at what a problem that has been. Yeah. And cheating and, you know, stuff like that, and having access to... And plus, let's say I'm going into a place where it's like, okay, there's no recording, but I can't see if you take my glasses.
Yeah, because so, it's prescription.
Movie theaters? It's going to be some weird questions there.
At the same time, can you imagine that if you get dependent on augmented reality, or, you know, you have prescription lenses that, you know, you can't get prescription lenses without the computer, basically, but there's some sort of copyright protection IC in your glasses? Talk about a dark future.
I'm just imagining being advertised to all the time.
You mean
you just get pop-ups randomly.
I bet there would be like an ad-supported...
Yeah.
Are you saying like maybe your vision is so bad that it enhances?
Yeah.
And so like you might be legal to drive. You might be just like in that gray area. We shouldn't allow that.
You can drive with the glasses, but you have to agree to something that will, you know, copyright filter. And it's like, oh, I was going to this amazing, you know, classical violin concerto tonight, and then the audio just cut out.
You know what? What would be great? Here's a great movie idea, chat. You young movie writers can go with this. Someone who is a model for stock photography becomes a meme, which we've seen so much. Like the guy looking at the other girl, like that meme.
Or the Hide the Pain Herald guy.
Yeah, exactly. And then that meme becomes associated with like terrorism or something, or, you know, like the Jinping. And so it gets blacklisted. And then in augmented reality, this person stops existing. And they have this weird life where, like, they're censored and they can't do things.
There's an episode of Black Mirror that's very similar to that.
Every time.
Yeah, it's not the exact same premise, but it's similar. There's like a custody case, and the kid is blocked from the dad's vision with AR.
Wow.
And then he hits him with a car. That's how I'd write that.
No. Then it turns out that the wife was lying to him, and the child is clearly
spoiler
not his.
Alert, Krista.
Yeah, sorry, it came out like 5 years ago, so an old episode.
Well, you could check out Black Mirror. That's a Netflix exclusive, right?
Yeah,
it is.
So.
And if you have Netflix, and you probably already do, because Netflix is just killing it in the lockdown, and all the big media streaming companies seem to be doing huge business, except for one, because their business model may have been a bit of a fumble into all of this. But they're looking to fix it.
Apple buys older shows for TV Plus, stepping up the Netflix challenge. I'm pretty sure that if any, like, is there anybody that is buying up, like, you know, by older shows, they're talking about, like, not really that old. I want Green Acres and Mr. Ed and the Dick Van Dyke Show. And, like, where, who's buying that?
But you realize when we watched those, that was like the nostalgia version.
Yeah.
Like, we were watching Nick at Night.
Yeah.
So that's another degree of separation.
Yeah.
I don't think the modern young audience would watch those at all.
I mean, they watch Star Trek. That's from the 60s.
I don't know.
I feel like Mr. Ed was pretty... Like, I liked Mr. Ed even when I was little.
Bewitched. And the one... The season with the changed actors that no one talked about.
I Dream of Jeannie.
It was magic.
Yeah.
Oh, Barbara Eden. Yeah, I mean, that would be fine.
She couldn't show her belly button.
Yeah.
Yeah, those shows were good. But, I don't know. Yeah, they've got to be pennies at this point, right?
One would think. Cheap.
But it's maybe just like... I don't know why Netflix chooses not to host some shows that seems like it would be super cheap to host.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes no sense. Because the rights to Green... Like, all of Green Acres has got to be like $5 at this point.
Yeah. I watched a lot of Nick at Night when I was young. Because those two shows... were generally better than anything opposite them in that same time slot. Like, Taxi was fantastic. I loved Taxi.
Yeah, yeah. And Taxi wasn't even that old at the time.
You know, every comment's going to be like, you guys are old.
It was not when I was a kid, and I'm not that old.
Oh, Krista.
I'm getting there, but I'm not there yet. I'm creeping into it.
You don't know when you get there. You don't have any, like, personal observation.
I'm getting there. I can tell.
I'm telling you. You think that? But then you're there and you're like, wait, what? What are you saying to me?
And then you eat your applesauce cup.
You're like, hey, I'm buying beer. Shouldn't you ask? What, is this a foregone conclusion now?
They should ask, because we were supposed to card everyone when I worked at a liquor store.
Yeah, well, they don't anymore. Yeah, that's the world I'm in now. So, M.2. It's exciting. It's a little tiny thing. Put those stupid heat spreaders on it. You feel special. I think we got one right here. Look how ridiculous.
Oh, I can hear it jostling about.
And, but hey, what if you need a lot of storage, right? I mean, yes. It's fun having that little chewing gum and just popping it in there, but you need a ton of storage. You got no options until now.
Sabrent unveils a record-breaking 8 TB Rocket Q NVMe PCI M.2 2280 80mm. 80mm SSD. We've reviewed the Sabrent 1 TB PCI Express 4 NVMe, and it was awesome. It was super awesome. So this is really exciting. 8 TB.
I think it's still going to be really fast, and you know, it's small. But what they have not announced is the price, which will for sure have 4 digits.
Yeah, seems like I want 4 of them to use in RAID.
But hey,
in a Threadripper system,
it's cool if you can afford it. And there was, you know, it's funny because Team Red, it seems like they just have positive press after positive press. They cannot lose, and I'd say in all of 2020 and most of 2019, just killing it.
Yeah,
it's, everybody is for them, you know, shilling for them, doing everything. It's falling over.
I love my Threadripper system. Let me tell you, Threadripper is amazing.
But they might have gone a little too far. And pushed that goodwill and pulled a move that seemed like it was a bit of what the competition did from time to time. And they have been spanked for it.
AMD to support Zen 3 and Ryzen 4000 CPUs on B450 and X470 motherboards. So we're right now on the fifth generation motherboards. B550 just came out. I think B550 was supposed to come out a lot sooner, but B550 just came out. And so this is, you know, a few weeks ago, or last week or the week before, AMD said, well, we're not going to be able to support the CPUs that are coming toward the end of 2020 on 400 series motherboards. And everybody was like, what? Because they just bought, you know, 450, like a B450 motherboards and things like that. Because you had a choice of X570, which is PCI Express 4 chipset fan. Mostly there's a couple models that don't have a chipset fan. And some people don't want that because it's, you know, loud and wide. So I was like, all right, I'll just get a B450 motherboard and use it with my third gen CPU. Well, there was no fourth gen upgrade path for you, even though they're both AM4. And this is down to ROM size limitations and some other things. But hey, AMD has said, all right, we're going to try to work on it and see if we can get it done.
Now, they said they're going to do it, although they don't know how they're going to do it yet. So if they can't do it, I ought to be more embarrassing.
We tried. It's probably going to be limited support. Like, you can't use certain APUs or you can't use certain older AM4. Like, there's only so much space for CPUs, and things get weird with the old AM4 CPUs.
And you probably have a weird situation where a specific BIOS with a specific CPU, it won't be a fun process.
Yeah.
But, hey.
I'm upgrading my CPU and BIOS at the same time.
Yeah. So, I'm sure we'll see some fallout from that, but I guess it's better than the alternative.
Yes.
At least they're trying. They've listened to the community.
Yeah, it's still, you know, better. I mean, we've got three generations of CPU for the same socket, which is really pretty good.
Now, I've said it before, and I know this is just my personal bias, and again, I'm old and I'm cranky, but I hate it when people have these stupid wireless earbuds at the grocery store. It makes me angry.
They are literally everywhere.
I don't know why. I mean, they shouldn't matter to me. I don't care if they live or die, but I do care about those stupid. It's something about the ears, because those ear spacers too. I don't even want you in my eyesight if you got those stupid things. I hate those with a passion. Anyway, bad news for me because everybody's buying them. They sold like 60 million.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. And they're very expensive.
Yeah.
And the battery life is not great.
And if you lose one, you have to buy a whole new set.
But people love them. And that's the world we're in. So what does Apple do? What avenue do they think? Oh, if we sold 60 million, how would we sell 60 more?
People will riot if the iPhone 12 doesn't come with earbuds in the box. Cue the angry customers. It's just a rumor, but maybe the next iPhone doesn't come with wired earbuds. Now, we're not even asking for wired earbuds. I mean, wireless earbuds, just even wired earbuds. They're like, no, you don't need the wired earbuds. You need to buy the wireless ones.
What's crazy is that this headline, people will riot. Almost 100,000 people dead. No rioting. Absolutely start rioting.
Well, rioting is not observing social distancing, Krista.
That's true.
How are you going
to
riot?
Listen, you have to prioritize what you're going to riot about, and I think this is the thing.
I wonder if Hong Kong will see an uptick in cases because they're, you know, shoulder to shoulder right now.
I think they just passed some really scary, like, you know.
Right, because they're back in the streets over that.
Yeah.
But are they hoping that they'll just get wiped out?
It's not a good. A number of people have actually disappeared.
Why? Because it's Saturday? I don't know if you needed a special event for that. The battery life of electronics is something that's been, you know, more and more in focus as everything becomes wireless and battery powered. There's the classic iPhone debacle with their performance stuff. And we've seen, you know, other companies kind of get burned for batteries that hurt the performance, which is why a new Dell XPS might be a pass this year.
The new Dell XPS 15 battery is rated for 300 charge cycles, but apparently that's okay. Now, the way the laptop charge cycles work is whatever it's rated for is when you've done that many charge cycles, you're at approximately 80% capacity. A normal charge cycle rating on batteries like this is 750 to 1,000 cycles. So this is a vanishingly small number of cycles.
Less than a third. And you got to think, I think that this is the gaming laptop, right? Or one of them.
Well, it's just high end. And, so it's got all the high end features.
So you
got
to think a cycle could easily be a day.
Yeah.
If you're gaming on it, it could be 3 cycles a day.
Yeah, if it's you, you know, take it with you. And
so this could be a year or less,
yeah,
for a heavy user.
I hope this one's not glued together. If it's screwed together and the battery's easily replaceable, it might not bother me as much because some older Dell laptops, I could actually get a better replacement battery imported than the thing shipped with originally. And those are nice times.
But it is an expensive.
But how often do they do that anymore, like where you can replace a laptop battery easily?
Oh, they probably want that to be super thin.
Yeah. It's also weird that, you know, a lot of laptops have a 1-year warranty. They're like, oh, your battery died. Oh.
Krista, how's your iPad battery doing?
Still pretty good. I can usually go a few days before I need to charge it again. So, not terrible. If I use it a lot, I might have to charge it, like, every other day. So,
the battery will last longer if you keep the charge between 20 and 80%.
I try to do that, though sometimes I forget and leave it on the charger overnight.
Yeah. How irresponsible.
Yeah, I know.
Netflix, they are making a lot of money during the lockdown, as we pointed out before, and so much that they seem to be getting really bold with their policies. I really don't get why this one is a good idea for anybody, but it is pro-consumer, I guess.
Yeah. Netflix to start canceling inactive customer subscriptions. Basically, Netflix is going to email you and say, hey, you haven't watched anything in like a year. Are you sure you want to continue? And if you don't respond, they're going to cancel your subscription.
At first, I thought this was to get you into out of like a grandfathered tier, but they don't have that, do they? It always just goes up for everybody.
Yeah. I think it just goes up for everyone, yeah.
Yeah, so.
This seems like, in theory, like a good guy move. This is how it should work, right? Like, if you aren't using it, they just automatically cancel it.
Yes, it should work like that, but I don't know of any other subscription service that does that.
Yeah.
Odd.
It's bad when like a big company does something nice and you immediately feel suspicious. It's like, what's the motive here? Why are you doing this?
Can I get a Chili's gift card instead? Like, I don't want to cancel my Netflix. Maybe just give me a Chili's gift card.
Is Chili's still around?
I don't even know.
You're going to go to a post-lockdown Chili's?
Sit on the patio, you'd be all right.
Chili's had one. What was their famous? Oh, the ribs.
Right? Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been to a Chili's.
They don't exist
in Eastern Kentucky.
We used to go in college a lot.
The baby back ribs were actually pretty good.
I don't think I ever had the ribs. Amazon, a couple stories about them. And so the whole, you remember we were talking about the crazy eyes Cortez and her anti-merger stance. This could be a perfect example of that. Because, and this is just a rumor, but this does point out how Amazon, they were given a legal ability to operate when others couldn't, and then allow them to crush those people and now begin to consume them. So is that really capitalism?
This is a follow-up from last week where we first reported on this, but Investors Business Daily says that report says that Amazon could be interested in a JCPenney acquisition. So, of course, Amazon is an essential business because they sell literally everything, as does Walmart or anything like that. JCPenney, however, not an essential business and has been shut down. So Amazon and JCPenney, you might notice, they sell a lot of the same things.
I have no memory of talking about that last week. Did we really do this story last week?
We mentioned that was, but it was just a rumor. And this has some more details about the rumor and a little bit more substantiation.
If you're Amazon, what do you do with that, all those stores?
I think if you're...
They said they want to use them for a distribution.
Yeah, I mean, there's no... JCPenney was not doing terrible before. You have the physical presence, distribution, returns, because that's gone really well. There's a ton of things you can do.
I think their stock price has been in trouble for quite a while.
If you're Jeff Bezos, you're looking for things that you can play the long game with, because you are making too much money right now. You are making so much money that when, if anything even starts to return to normalcy, there are people that are going to be crying bloody murder because you came out of this, you know, so enriched. And other businesses like JCPenney and even small mom and pop stores are suffering incredibly. And so you look like, you know, Dr. Evil at the end of all of this. And so he's got to do anything that he can to try to avoid that before it happens.
You say they're garbage, Krista?
JCPenney? Yeah, JCPenney's not great. They've been going downhill for many, many years in terms of like the quality of their clothing.
When you say JCPenney to me, I imagine like, you know, middle-class white couple with 2.5 kids, a minivan.
See, like, that's the old JCPenney, but now, like, if you go in there, it's literally, like, geriatric clothing for the most part.
Well, it's those same people. They're just following them to the grave.
Maybe it's maybe it's because most of my early life experience was with, like, Walmart clothes. But when I get the JCPenney clothes, it was like, wow, this is amazing. Whereas like the Walmart shirt was like, I can wash this 3 times and then it's falling apart.
Church clothes.
See, yeah, my town had like a Walmart and a JCPenney, and those were the only places you could really buy clothing from.
Yeah.
So like if you got to go to the big city, that was like a big deal because then you could get clothes that were not from one of those two retailers.
Yeah, and all the rich kids at school exclusively had those other kinds of clothes.
Yeah.
It was a big deal.
It was a big deal.
Not to me. I mostly had shirts with, like, band names and dragons on them.
Oh, you were that kid? Did you have, like, they're like Hawaiian shirts, but they just have dragons instead?
Yeah, like the whole front and back. I had a couple of those. Yeah.
Oh, I can picture you in high school now because that was like a very specific stereotype.
Yeah, and I had a full range of Nine Inch Nails and Metallica t-shirts.
I had a lot of t-shirts with like the generic like Three Wolf Moon stuff, but it was not ironic and it was very not in style at the time that I had it.
Oh, yeah, the same with the Dragons.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody was rocking the Dragons. Like, now it might be kind of cool to have the Dragons. It wasn't.
I wore ironic t-shirts for, I went through a phase in high school where I just wore t-shirts with funny sayings on them. I don't know.
No, what? Give me an example. I know you remember one.
I don't anymore. That's like all I wore. All I wore. And then everyone liked the sarcastic bunny. I can't remember the name of it.
Did you have like maybe a talk to the hand?
No. It was never stuff like that. It was just like stuff about being mean and sarcastic. And it was like that was considered acceptable in the early 2000s. I don't know why. But.
Okay. Amazon continues to spread their corruption, I guess you could say, into other countries, into the emerging markets, and basically just snuffing out competition as they go, kind of like with JCPenney. And in India, they're having... remember how the Indian government fought this?
Yeah.
And somehow, here it is anyway.
Amazon launches food delivery service in India. It's going to go against Zomato and Swiggy, I think.
Swiggy.
Yeah.
You're close. I don't...
Swaggy.
No, Swiggy. No, it's Swiggy. Yep, it's Swiggy.
Yeah. So a
terrible name.
It's a $6.5 billion investment in India because Jeff Bezos is looking for things to absorb the record earnings that Amazon is enjoying amid the lockdown.
He's like a drug dealer trying to launder money.
Yeah. It's like, listen, I need to invest in a bunch of things that are just going to chew up all our available cash. I know, food delivery in India.
Food delivery here in the U.S. has taken off, but it seems like these food delivery companies have kind of a weird chokehold on the restaurants. You would think that restaurants would be empowered if they're doing takeout food right now, but it seems like not because the delivery companies have these crazy contracts, and you kind of either play ball or you just get run over.
Even if you're trying to avoid Grubhub by calling your favorite restaurant directly, Grubhub could still be charging a fee. How does this happen? Well, it turns out that if you're at a popular restaurant in a city, Grubhub will buy a phone number just for that restaurant, and it will charge the restaurant a fee for connecting it and then having the order. So you can think that you're calling a restaurant, but you're actually calling the Grubhub number for that restaurant, not the restaurant itself. And sometimes those phone numbers get listed on search engines, which is, you know, probably their goal. They're probably doing that intentionally. And it also mentions how, I guess, with partnership, it implies there's a partnership with websites like Yelp. Yelp will list the Grubhub number. And so in that case, if that restaurant wants that business, then it will have to pay the fee. And so if like somebody just wants a coffee, it's a flat fee. It's like $6-$7. So there are some restaurants where they're losing money by taking these orders online.
And we have a great other Grubhub story, but it's in the nonsense section because it had to go in the nonsense section.
Yeah.
It is so nonsensical. But it's even better than that. But it is disgusting. I can see being a restaurant. And the thing that the other story points out, I'm not really spoiling it here, is even if you don't list yourself on Grubhub, sometimes they'll just list you anyway.
Yeah.
So if you don't take this terrible deal, then you might just get muscled out completely.
And also like ghost kitchen things, because it's like this restaurant doesn't do delivery. Well, we'll make a website that looks like that thing, have a phone number, and then a lot of the time the restaurant owner's in the dark on that.
They also pointed out that they would buy up phone numbers and try to redirect and like do anything they can to get that $6, which is crazy. Microsoft... they really seem to be working hard at softening their image. Maybe it's because the whole like move to the cloud thing is working for them. And they're like, okay, we can take our foot off the neck of the desktop operating system.
Maybe it's because of the leaked memos, the Halloween memos from about 15 years ago, where they were like, we must crush anything that is not us.
Or maybe, you know, they're forward thinking and they see that there is a competitor. You know, and I ain't talking about Apple.
Microsoft debuts a Windows Package Manager for your dev environment. So it's WinGet. So it's like apt-get. They're like WinGet. But this is pretty good. We did a video on Chocolaty, which is a third-party package manager. Windows is long overdue for something like this. You need to be able to WinGet install CPU-Z, GPU-Z, NVIDIA drivers, whatever you want. This is something that debuted at Microsoft Build. And you know what else debuted at Microsoft Build?
They launched further kowtowing to a certain community.
Microsoft launches Windows Terminal 1.0 and unveils GPU support and Linux GUI apps in the WSL. So I can summarize what's going on with the GPU thing here really succinctly. There's a lot of researchers out there that want access to the GPU horsepower that's available via CUDA. And those researchers, they're installing Linux a lot. And Microsoft's like, oh man, these people are getting really, really proficient with Linux and they can just live on Linux 24/7. WSL here will let you have the Linux experience with your CUDA-enabled GPU, but without actually having to install Linux, you get the best of both worlds, and maybe we stave off leaving the desktop for another day.
And that is the thing that's holding back Linux, is the GPU. They simply cannot compete. The drivers aren't there. No one's developing games for it. If, and this is kind of a tentative step, I think, in that direction, to see, like, can we get away with this? If you can give them that environment but still have it under Windows and still maybe get a license out of them, then yeah, you might stop a catastrophic tipping point at some future date.
Seems likely.
In the meantime, though, it's good. It's good for people who use Windows.
In the meantime, it's good to also, those Windows users are getting Linux skills. So maybe in the future, if, you know, desktop Linux materializes, some multi-billion dollar companies like this is the Linux desktop, then maybe those skills will translate to a platform without Windows.
One of the biggest announcements in the tech world, I guess, well, I counted the tech world, it's YouTube, was Joe Rogan. He kind of surprised everybody with this big announcement. Now, I'm interested to get your guys' take on this before I give mine.
Joe Rogan will bring his podcast exclusively to Spotify. Multi-year licensing deal reported to be worth more than $100 million. He's still allowed to have clips and stuff on YouTube, but he's going to be exclusively on Spotify. And the article also talks about how initially he's like, are you insane? And then Spotify explained their long-term plan, and then he was like, okay. And I'm pretty sure the long-term plan just had more zeros on it.
That, I don't think that's the case at all. So, I mean, you think it's just a money thing?
$100 million, yeah.
But that's over years.
Yeah.
So supposedly, currently, from all of his various, you know, he controls the advertising, plus his YouTube revenue, he's making $50 million a year. This is a pay cut.
Oh.
Now, according to Alex Jones, he claims that Joe Rogan called him, and he was like, listen, Alex, the reason I'm moving to Texas, Alex Jones claims Joe Rogan is moving to Texas because, like Musk, he's done with the overreaching California. He's bringing the podcast there, going to Spotify, and the reason was because YouTube told him he wanted to have some doctors on who were like the opposing voice for the lockdown, and YouTube was just like, no, you're not doing that. No chance. And they were
and
like...
Spotify was like, we'll let you host that.
Yeah, exactly. And they were like, well, here's another list of people that's not going to be on the show. And one of them is Alex Jones, because that's just not on our platform. So he was like, all right, going to Spotify. And supposedly, and this will confirm or deny whether Alex Jones had any insight here, he claims this is directly from Joe Rogan, the first guest will be Alex Jones. Who is...
I guess we'll see.
That was the most popular Joe Rogan podcast of all time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm. So... really, it'd be interesting to see if that plays out, because if it really is because of censorship, then Joe Rogan has supposedly said in the new iteration he will quote unquote be going to war with big tech.
Interesting.
I think that's...
I've never thought
of... I don't know if I completely believe Alex Jones, but I also kind of do.
Well, they are friends.
About this? Yeah.
Joe has said on many occasions that they are good friends. So... but also, was it September? I think that starts. So you don't have to pay for Spotify; you only have to register.
Did you got Spotify recently? Right.
I did, but only because Google Music is going away.
Yeah. Do you
but
like
it? Is
it?
Better.
Did you do
it's
the
way
pay?
Better.
Did
yeah.
you do the pay tier?
Well, that's well, like 3 months for free right now, but
that's yeah. the, that's really the thing that Google has to learn is they need to have an architect that has a vision for things and just build that, because Google Music, I don't know anything about music, and it was Google Music built by committee.
It was
as useless.
Shockingly bad.
Yeah.
The search on Spotify, I would say, easily 10 times better. The search!
Yeah. I find everything about Spotify to be very intuitive.
You
I
know
really
what drives me
it.
Crazy about Spotify, though, too? And this is like, it's weird little limitations like this. Like, why? You can't click sort.
Why would that not be a thing?
Are you looking at your liked songs? Like, just songs you put a heart by?
Any playlist.
Oh, there's. I think you can't sort your like songs, which I don't like. But everything else, I haven't had any issues with.
That's going to be interesting. You know who could solve the problem for us if we ever have a problem with tech over things? It's Linode. That'll be an ad in the next episode.
You think they'll give us $100 million?
I don't think so. I think if we got enough referrals, yeah, it's like, you know, if we're going to bring them $200 million of referrals, and yeah, I would probably be fine with that.
We have to become the number one. Actually, I think he's number two. I was surprised to learn he's not number one. It's Barstool Sports is number one.
Yeah, but there was the. Do you know what the article? The article mentioned some kind of controversy. Or
no, I don't
to,
know what.
I don't know what that is either.
In the sports world.
I don't. Joe Rogan's not. Like, I'll listen to him every now and then, but I'm not super into him. But it seems like he is the dude show. Like, dudes love Joe Rogan.
Well, the thing he does that nobody's ever really tried before is there are no sound bites or, you know, like, whatever. He'll have almost anybody interesting on, and he'll just let them talk. It's
yeah.
never been done. So you got to give him credit for, you know. And it turns out that a lot of these people, if you have like a segment on a late night talk show or a news program or something like that, they're never going to have time to get enough in depth of what they need to talk about to actually tell you about it. I mean, like Bernie Sanders, for example. Hmm. That, I think Joe Rogan was a huge impact on the Bernie Sanders campaign.
Probably.
Not enough to stop the, you know, evil empire, but.
You know what's been a huge impact on the gaming industry? The current situation we find ourselves in that must not be named.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the actual thing. Yeah, so games are... Everybody's playing games. More and more people. And the classics, you certainly can't argue that this one is not a classic, have sort of been reinvigorated with new player counts. What was the one we talked about last week? Age of Empires.
Age of Empires, yeah. That's yeah. That's an antique by gaming standards.
Yeah, so Krista, you're a huge Minecraft nerd.
I am.
How much have you played during the lockdown?
I don't have an hour amount, but I have played some. I mostly, at this point, I'm just using it to design houses. For when I you know, buy land and go off grid and you never see me again.
So a blocky house in the woods.
Yeah.
You want to read the headline?
Oh, okay. I didn't know what was going on. Minecraft play spikes, tops 126 million builders a month amid the thing. That does not surprise me at all.
No.
We've certainly been playing a lot, so.
This article talks about some other games that are also topping the charts. It doesn't mention Age of Empires. It also doesn't mention the quote from Jensen Huang at NVIDIA. You know, NVIDIA CEO thinks that computer gaming is going to be huge in the next year or two because he doesn't see the lockdown going away anytime soon.
Certainly seems like that. I'm in that weird place where I'm overwhelmed with my options. So I look at my game library and I just like scroll through it for 10, 15 minutes and I just leave.
Yeah. It's like I don't even want to play anything.
But then a new game comes out and I go and buy it.
Well, you've been streaming Witcher 3.
That's an interesting
Witcher
game.
3. Yeah. There's another game you said that would be good whenever we go back to like doing table games.
Space Haven. RimWorld in space.
Yeah.
After playing another 8 hours of it or so, it's really slow.
Mm. Oh.
And also like I destroyed my first pirate ship, and I was like, oh, I get to salvage everything in the pirate ship. And that's a weird mechanic. Like, I still have to, they don't have any oxygen, but they're still putting up a fight when I try to board them.
Hmm.
And like, and if they surrender, I don't get the ship.
Hmm. So, seems weird.
It's interesting, though. It's early access. Moving on to the security section. I guess the most terrifying kinds of attacks, really, are the ones that are over the air. Because how do you stop them? And a lot of people won't run a certain kind of thing because, like, oh, I'm vulnerable to Wi-Fi or I'm vulnerable to Bluetooth. I'm not going to do it. And this one will probably terrify those people even more.
ZDNet reports the new Spectra attack breaks the separation between Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. Technical details to be presented in August at the Black Hat 2020 Security Conference. So we don't have technical details on this, but what they promise is that they found that these physical microchips have multiple ARM cores in order to be able to support both Wi-Fi and Bluetooth from basically the same radio hardware. And the radio hardware takes into account the fact that Bluetooth uses 2.4 gigahertz and some of the Wi-Fi spectrum is 2.4 gigahertz. And so you can have an information leak in one that leaks into the other. You can also have hardware bugs and like hardware implementations that have problems and use the Bluetooth stack to manipulate the state of the system on the Wi-Fi side of things. So you may be able to use that to compromise a system, for example. So that might be bad. No technical details, though.
And if you turn both of those off, you're really limiting your phone usage. Now, do you think this ghost is the mascot of Spectre? Is this like the ghost of inclusivity?
Yeah, I don't understand.
I guess we'll have to wait for the Black Hat presentation.
I mean, he looks surprised and not menacing. Yeah. I think I put the cursor on Krista again.
I have a feeling that they're going to demonstrate really just an incredible technique, but that is wildly impractical for doing anything. Like, it'll be great for like the NSO group, but not really practically exploitable.
These guys are really just doing the NSO group's dirty work.
Yeah.
Just for a little, you know, a headline and a presentation, a small moment of glory. I guess we shouldn't blame them, though, because obscurity is worse, but... Yeah. If games are, like you say, like NVIDIA says, this, you know, like everybody takes them up and they become hugely successful and everybody's doing it, then this seems like a very impressive, like, front-running move for a hacker group. Really reading the tea leaves here.
Hackers infect multiple game developers with advanced malware. Never before seen Pipemon hit one developer's build system and another's game servers. Basically, the name of the game here is to get whatever kind of malware you can actually into the game, so it will actually ship from the developers with your malware.
Or update an existing game. And in the case of the MMO, they talked about how they could control the game economy. So for a game like WoW, you could actually move gold out of the system and sell it.
Nice.
And like many of the really good exploits, these could just sit in place and wait for popularity to spike. So watch out for that. I don't know what you're going to do about it. It's not like you can fix it. Apple, there was that thing where Apple was like, you guys are crazy. Siri is not listening all the time. Come on.
That was at the height of Amazon basically admitting that they're listening all the time and that they have to turn over things to the police kind of a lot.
And they were like, no, you have to engage Siri. That's how it's always been. That's how it's always going to be. And there was this guy who worked in one of the centers that listens to the recording and types them out, you know, to try to improve the AI. And he was like, there's no way these are engaged recordings. These are recording things that no one would engage for. Well, an interesting thing happened from all of that. Nothing.
Apple whistleblower goes public over quote-unquote lack of action. So he says that Apple's violating rights and they are continuing the data collection on a massive scale, which is a little hypocritical from what they say, but time will tell.
I think it's told.
Well, he's got a... There's... Yeah. Yeah. No one really cared.
This week's big hack was an airline company. I don't think this is American, right? This is BBC News. EasyJet, I've never heard of them.
EasyJet admits data of 9 million hacked. Basically, all of the people that have ever flown with EasyJet, and then some. Sometimes people were booked on EasyJet, you know, as a connecting flight or, you know, an indirect flight by other airlines. So your data could be there, could be in that hack.
It was big. It was like credit card info with CVV.
Yeah.
It was crazy. So this happened in January. And they said they have contacted some of the people whose credit cards were compromised before now, but just now, the public release, which That's a long time.
Yeah.
That's half a year.
Why are you calling me now? I already got a new credit card number.
Yeah, we want it. An embarrassing leak for Mercedes-Benz. And the thing that struck me most about this wasn't that it was leaked, but that it exists in the first place. This is a terrifying thing. This should not exist.
Mercedes-Benz onboard logic unit, OLU, source code leaks online. How did it leak? Some guy found the GitLab server, and it let just anybody sign up. So he signed up with a fake email address, because it was like, oh, you got to have a Daimler Chrysler email address. And he's like, all right. So he just made one up, and it's like, okay, it let him in without verifying it. So then he just downloaded like 700 repositories and then posted them online.
Wow. Well,
what is the OLU? Well, it turns out this is on vans, you know, like panel vans and stuff like that. And it's a system to talk back to a home server to report everything that van is doing.
Yeah, fleet management is pretty common.
Disgusting. All the truckers in the audience are like, yeah. Let me tell you about it.
There's literally a urine analyzer in the cab of my truck. Like, literally.
There's an anal probe I have to sit on. It looks for opiates.
Every time we stop for gas, I have to be probed.
The tracing apps are out. I didn't include the story, but Apple and Google finally released their API for real. So that's a thing now. And some states, like North Dakota, have their contact tracing out in the wild. And some people have gotten it and immediately started looking at the network output of it. And surprise, it's disturbing.
North Dakota's contact tracing app leaks location data to Foursquare and a Google Ads ID. So your, you know, profile's globally unique ad ID is getting reported along with your location. Huh.
Is this stock image a picture of Google?
I like how he went to the, like, he actually tucked the mask down into his collar.
Yeah. Well, you know, he didn't want to look sloppy.
The article makes it sound like the government, the North Dakota government, was DIY their solution here, which is why it does that.
It also had a bug reporting API.
Yeah.
And it was reporting everything to them, too. So, yeah, I don't know if it was malicious. I think it might have just been poorly built, and they're like, oh, we'll just use all these libraries and cobble this thing together.
I'm writing an Android app. It's a Hello World app. Oh, it's reporting my Google Ads ID. That's just how it works with Android Studio. Have you never developed an app with Android Studio? You can't help but report your Google Ads ID.
Now, you're supposed to have anonymity to be, you know, eligible for the Google Apple API. So you got to wonder, will they get involved here? We'll see. Any North Dakotans out there? North Dakota, that is a low population density, right? They should be pretty good in terms of distancing. My distance to the next person is 20 acres. All right, that's all we got for this week, for today. Not this week. Friday will be a crazy day where it's design and Just a little bit of robot.
It's pure nonsense.
All nonsense.
Pure nonsense.
It's a lot of nonsense.
It's pure nonsense sponsored by Linode.
Linode loves nonsense, except when it comes to cloud hosting.
And they are no nonsense.
Then don't try to pull any nonsense. They'll slap you right in the face. Kristen.